your little rigmarole about seeing and hearing.
Thank you. Okay, can all commissioners see and hear me? And if you can, give me a thumbs up. All right, everybody has a thumbs up. Can all members of the public see and hear? And if you all can, give me a thumbs up. A lot of you, I can't see. There is Brandon. Okay, cool. All right, we're good. This meeting is being recorded. Once President Brooks asked me to call the roll, indicate you are here as well as give permission to record by verbally stating here, permission to record. Oh, actually, this is Michael's.
This does say Michael is the man of the hour.
Yep, so he's the chair of the finance committee of the whole, so it's Michael's.
I love being the chair of the finance committee.
He's the chair of the finance. So, Michael, if you're comfortable, I don't know if you have this in the little script in front of you.
Please hold while I get the little script in front of me. Okay. I've actually memorized it, you know. I'm just testing you guys. Hold on a minute. From Jenny.
You know what? Let me just do this first part, and Michael, you can pick it up as you get along. So I call the February 2nd, 2021 Finance Committee of the whole.
I'm sending it to you.
Does that matter?
Are you sending it to me, Jenny?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I call the February 2nd, 2021 Finance Committee of the whole meeting of Glencoe Park District to order. Lisa, please call the roll and note the time.
It is 7:03. Member Boren?
Yes.
Member Brooks? Member Brooks?
Oh, yeah, I'm hearing part of what you're saying. Okay, yes, permission to record.
Okay. Member Ludden?
Yes, permission to record.
Member Underdonk?
Yes, permission to record.
Chair Covey?
Yes, permission to record.
All right.
Okay, so this is me, apparently. It is our practice not to address questions at this time. However, we will take comments under advisement. Is there anyone who would like to make a verbal comment? If so, please limit comments to 3 minutes per person. And I'm not hearing everything, but I'm kind of guess nobody opted to make a comment.
Correct.
So
we lost her.
We lost her. Michael, we're going to throw it back to you.
Can I call the meeting to order?
We already did, so we're good at that.
Okay. Well, that's...
So number four. So pretty much we're turning it over to Carol.
Yeah, I see a three. I don't see a four. Oh, there's four. By the way, four is an I and a V for next time.
It is an I and a V.
On mine, it's okay. I'm sorry, I'm confused here. I called the February 2nd, 2021 Finance Committee of the whole meeting of Glencoe Park District to order. Lisa, please call the roll and note the time. We've done that.
We're good to go.
The next is Lisa Brooks. She did that. And the next is Carol.
Yep. So Carol, I'm going to throw it to you.
All righty. Hello,
and
everybody.
By the way, this is her very last budget presentation. So go easy on her.
Yeah.
Bring out the pitchforks.
Well, I know we have another committee in the meeting after this, and hopefully we can go through very quickly. I would like to just state that it's been an extraordinary year, obviously, with the pandemic. We started the budget process about 6 weeks later than we typically did in prior years. And yet we're still presenting it to you and the board here in the first week of February. So we're right on time with our timeline. Our approval draft would be approved by you at our March regular meeting, March 16th. And then our budget appropriations ordinance is expected to be approved at the April board meeting. So I'm going to get right into it as I typically do and kind of go section by section of the budget book that you all received a couple of weeks ago. Hopefully you've had a time to kind of look through it, circle any questions that you might have or clarifications. And I'm just going to go through it, and please, I might not see you on the screen, so please don't hesitate to just, you know, shout out if you got a question And I will stop and answer the question at that point in time. So with that being said, this budget, I know I was a little bit leery, obviously, the fact that we're in the pandemic. Yet at the same time, because we have projected out throughout the 10 months of the pandemic to see that we were actually operating quite well compared to what we had budgeted for the end of the fiscal year. Our fiscal year ends the end of this month, February 28th. So it looks great. I was very pleased to tie it all together to be able to present it to you tonight. I want to just point out, number one, there's actually a new fund, and we'll go over it with the capital projects. And it has to do with the issuance of the bond proceeds. Both legal counsel and our auditing firm, after discussion, we decided to better track the expenditures related to bond proceeds, as well as any revenues that we generate from interest income for arbitrage purposes, and to really evaluate spend down requirements per our bond ordinance. They suggested that we create a new fund. And so I did create Fund 67. It is literally just the bond proceeds. So you're gonna see that fund throughout the budget this year. It is, I know the whole capital fund situation, just to reiterate, Fund 65 is for annual operating capital. It's from a transfer from our corporate fund. Fund 69 is what we typically would make transfers from REC and corporate funds, as well as any grants and donations for master plan projects. And now Fund 67 is to identify all those bond proceed projects. And I know we have approved year one, which is fiscal year 21-22, and yet to approve the remaining 2 years, but it's included in fund in section 5 of this book. So we will get more into that when we start to talk about capital. But just some of the highlights from section 1, which is my finance director memo to you all, in summary, is that we always really strive to keep our fund balances in corporate and rec above the 50% guideline, knowing that anything over that, we typically would transfer to Fund 69. This year, even despite the pandemic, we're looking really good in the corporate fund. And I attribute that to two things. It's really watching our expenditures and reducing, especially in the park maintenance department budget, expenditures, and really watching early on in the pandemic, contractual service providers, our utilities and our buildings that weren't really being utilized at that time. And then the amazing recreation staff for Beach and Watts in the boathouse, really devising opportunities to bring in the revenue with the season pass system this year. And that has worked tremendously as far as really reducing what we had budgeted deficit wise during the year, and actually bringing in more than we expected. Watts, Bobby and I were joking this morning, potentially could actually earn a profit this year. So that would be an absolute first of any time since I've been in here, and I know well before my time as well. So there are reasons behind why that it's looking so good. And it's a combination of still bringing in revenues. Obviously, our recreation programs were the ones that really felt the hit the most. You know, we had budgeted probably about $3.2 million, and we're going to probably bring in $1.6 million less in revenues. But you have to remember, with those lower revenues also become a cut in expenditures. So, you know, the net loss that we're looking at for recreation fund from the pandemic is about $500,000-$600,000 when it's all said and done. So our capital Fund 65 projects, this year, we kind of put a hold on them with not knowing what was going to happen with the pandemic. The board identified those projects that were priority that we still needed to do. But we have a large carryover for that fund, and we hope to catch up with those fund the 65 projects in this current fiscal year 21-22. Still also doing over $550,000 in operating capital, which is in all of the operating funds, primarily in Parks Department and the Recreation Fund. And of course, the first year of the Fund 67 bond proceeds being identified, a little over $1.6 million in this first draft of the budget. So really just want to highlight too in the memo, we had budgeted a right around $2.2 million fund balance in corporate fund. Right now with this first draft, we look to come in about $2.6 million. So that I had said earlier in the year, we did not make any transfer to Fund 69 because we were waiting to see the impact of the pandemic. I feel pretty comfortable now that once the audit is done, we can certainly make a transfer from the corporate fund to Fund 69, probably in the amount of $300,000-$400,000. So that's good. Recreation is holding its own. We're still looking to be meeting the 50% guideline, which I know that we've been fortunate as a park district compared to other park districts in Illinois. A lot of them are really facility based, and they've taken a hit in their recreation funds. So I was pleasantly surprised to still see us hitting that 50% guideline in recreation. At this time, I'm not really anticipating a transfer to Fund 69 once the audit is done. But we'll see. That might be still a possibility. Just to highlight, too, with those transfers from recreation and corporate fund, we have saved the taxpayers of the Glencoe Park District a little over $7.3 million over the last 8 years. And I think that's really a kudos to all of our staff to continue to strive to make the revenues over and above our expenditures so that we can make those transfers every year. That was kind of the onus on which this community center was built and was hopeful that we would be able to do. And that's definitely has been true the last 8 years. So we're hoping once we kind of readjust after the pandemic that we're again able to do that every year as well. The last page of your tab two, I know the board likes to see the top 10 highest cost capital items. Again, this year, because the goal is to try and reduce the bond proceeds, we have specific spend down requirements, 6 months, 12 months, 15 months, 18 months, and they have to 85% of the bond proceeds have to be spent within the 3 year period. So those top five there listed in your budget binder are all Fund 67 from bond proceeds. The remaining five are then from Fund 65, the transfer from corporate. And I believe one or two of them might have been a carryover from last year that we never did. So does anybody have any questions on just the summary of, I guess, the look at the park district as a whole at this point in time?
I like to say, Carol, I never saw a budget book dedicated. I like that.
Yeah, you know what? After 32 years of doing this, I want to, and I thank you for Lisa for pointing that out. I have several mentors in the field, two of them still living, thankfully, Lois and Skip Dunsmere, and two of them, Rod Aiken and Dave Noble, have passed. And I really owe them a lot in my career, and wanted to make sure I dedicated this last budget presentation and first draft to them, as well as my coworkers, the A team of Lisa and Bobby, Chris, Aaron, and Jenny. You guys are amazing, and Glencoe Park District is very lucky to have you. So this is all not possible without you and your hard work. So the dedication also goes to you as well.
Well, thank you. I wasn't fishing for a compliment, but I appreciate that. Thank you. Dudley?
Yeah, I had a question. Since we have found $300,000-$400,000 more, will we be looking at doing an adjustment perhaps later in the year?
Well, our fiscal year ends the end of this month. So as we've done in prior years, we wait really until the audit is completed and Ron Amon, the managing audit partner, presents the final audit to the board. It is at that time we discuss making that transfer, and it's done typically in July.
Okay. Thank
you. So that's the intent right now.
Good.
Is Fund 67 going to be in perpetuity or just until the bond is the funds are exhausted?
Just until the funds are spent.
And can you explain to me just real quickly why we have to have another fund? I know you did it at the beginning. I just don't understand why they recommended it as opposed to just using 69.
You have to be very specific on monies that are spent from the bonds proceeds versus other funds. And it's the easiest way, per discussions with our auditor and our legal counsel, to make sure that all revenues related to the interest that we make on those funds, as well as the expenditures of those funds. It's very, the criteria related to issuing bond and then all the records that are kept for 3 years after the bonds actually mature is very detailed and specific and very legal.
So going forward, should I just look at 67 and 69 from practical purposes as a combined?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. The goal is to really spend Fund 67 first, because we have spend down requirements that we could be penalized by if we don't meet those requirements.
And then that was one of my questions I didn't quite understand. So the $9.4 million in the 2020/2021 budget was, a lot of that was bond funded, and we whipped that out for the 2020/2021 projected in 2021/22 budget. Is that right?
Correct. That okay. is correct.
So didn't start off, why don't we just create a 67 before the bond went through the zero and just stick it in there?
Well, you have to remember, we didn't quite know that we were going to issue the bonds. So
that's right, because it's 2020. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Well, so for purposes of showing more an accurate thing at the time, we put them in Fund 69, but the reality is, accounting wise, we really need to segregate those. And it was just easiest to do it now.
Well, that answers a bunch of my questions. I didn't quite fully appreciate the reading this. So thank you.
Sure. If there's no further questions, I'm going to go on to tab 2. And I think Michael's already looking at that first page of the revenues. I just want to point out, obviously, revenues projected for 2021 are going to be lower than anticipated, with the exception of Watts. Oh, you see at the top there, we budgeted $155,000 in revenue and are bringing in projected close to $232,000. You see the decrease in recreation programs by about $1.2 million in this draft of the budget. You see in the bond and interest fund, where the monies come into the bond fund and then they go out of the bond fund. The net being that any interest or any expenses related to the issuance of the bond are paid out of that fund itself. And the net proceeds are then transferred into Fund 67 for expenditure during the course of the next 3 to 4 years. So tried to highlight those in the binder this year just to jump out. Net operating revenues, we budgeted around almost $11.7 million. We're projecting only $10.3 million. And then budgeting-wise, we're basing it on actual, knowing that we're still in the middle of the pandemic. We're hopeful that the vaccine is coming sooner than later, but we're kind of realizing that it won't probably be until fall, early fall, mid-fall, until we're operating more at a normal pace. You can see the capital revenues at the bottom for total revenues budgeted for fiscal year 21-22 at about almost $11.3 million. Expenditures, you again see, obviously, the projected column is going to be much lower than budget in some cases. Parks and maintenance, we budgeted almost 1.4.
Carol, I'm sorry. If you're highlighting particular parts, could you give us a page?
It is table 2 on section 2.
Thank you.
Sure. And it gives a breakdown by department. by fund and then department for expenditures budgeted, projected, and then the budget for 21-22. Again, the expenditures, you can see the interfund transfers also identified in for corporate and rec. You see in the budgeted 21-22 numbers right now, there is no transfer showing in the first draft. We're hopeful again for corporate that we can take $300,000 to $400,000 and actually transfer that. But for this budget draft, we did not want to show that at this time. Special recreation fund is down expenditure wise. We did not build for half of our companion services for this current past fiscal year, 2021, obviously due to the pandemic. Pension and retirement fund is down based on the fact that we did not hire as many people this year who were eligible to be in IMRF. Corresponding decrease in Social Security and Medicare. The last board meeting I mentioned that we had about 70 to 75 less employees during the calendar year than was employed the year before due to the pandemic. Liability insurance fund, Poderma actually returned 10% of premiums early on in the pandemic for their member agencies. So that was helpful. And capital projects, you can see that identified at the bottom of the page. Capital, although we budgeted over 700,000, we are literally projecting just over 400,000 to be expended this year. So from an operating expense budget, you can see highlighted kind of two-thirds of the way down. This last year, we budgeted 10.9 million. We're coming in about 9.1 million. And we're budgeting for fiscal year 21-22, a little over 10.5 million operating funds. Capital, the bulk of that is in Fund 67 with the 2020 bond proceeds. Right now, about $1.65 million. Minor costs in Fund 69 have to do really with the grant and the $100,000 that is part of the sinking bond fund, which is not money we're really spending. We're just segregating it and committing it as a part of the fund balance. The previous 2 years, we've set aside $50,000 knowing that we're going to have to replace the roof on this takeoff center. So this next budget year, we want to do a little bit more, do $100,000. The $7,000 has to do with required audit and attestation fees for the grants that we are going to receive, hopefully soon. We don't know when that's going to be exactly, but hopefully soon. So total expenditures from last year, right around 15.1, including operating and capital, to this year, right around 13.1 million.
So Carol, if I look at the 15.1 versus the 13.1, you know, it's about 2 million, of which I think 1.3 million is from admin, takeoff, and rec, right? You've got, if I look at, you know, column one versus column three, you got 1.3 million there. Where is, you know, the rest of this seems to be.
It's actually mostly in capital, Michael.
The rest of it seems to be in capital, but most of it, I don't see most of it being capital. I mean, I'm looking at the admin takeoff, you know, section fund 2500 and fund 2525. That's 1.3 million difference if you look at those.
No, go down to net operating expenditure. You're going from 10.9 in 2021 to 10.5. So that's only 400,000.
Oh, okay.
The remainder is the capital expenses more at the bottom of the page. We budgeted 4.2 million and actually budgeting this next year 2.6 million. So that's where the big difference is.
Yeah. I was trying to wrap my head around the top two line items and can't figure out why those are down, you know, 1.3 million. Like, why is admin take it? Why did we budget 3.2 3.157 last year and only 2.236 this year?
You're on table two?
Table two, recreation fund 25.
Yep.
If you look at the 2020-2021 budget for admin take-it is about 3.57, yep. Right?
Right. The difference is the $850,000 that's transferred from recreation to fund 69 in the current year.
But we would have done that. So we're transferring more this year than we did last year?
No, we're not. We don't have any showing in fund 21-22. If you go above to corporate, you can see also in administration, you got 1.15,
yeah,
1.15 actual and mm-hmm. 500. There's no fund 69 transfer. That's what's, it's included in there.
Okay. No fund 69 transfer in.
Correct.
You said we're going to wait till after the audit for that kind of stuff, right?
Correct.
But last year, the 1.15 was the budget, after audit budget, I presume?
Yeah. So okay. It was July of 2019, the board committed to transfer $850,000 and $650,000 to appear in the 2021 budget. So last July, we didn't make any because we were in the middle of the pandemic. This July.
Remind me what goes in the admin. This is sort of the SG&A, like the overhead stuff.
Well, admin, that literally is just the transfers, the $500,000 to Fund 65 and the transfer to Fund 69. So this year in 2021-22,
yep.
That's just the 500 to fund 65. The G&A department is all the admin costs, Lisa's salary, my salary, some of the front office salaries, all the maintenance of our...
indirect expenses.
Yes.
I find it very funny that you call, and I probably asked them this before and reminded myself before, that we call, you know, administration is really a transfer sort of catch-all.
Well, it's the revenues coming into GA are paid for by the rec fund admin department, yeah. Daycare, Watts, Beach, Boathouse.
Okay.
So they fund that G&A expense.
Got it. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Dudley? You're muted, Dudley? You're muted. Dudley, you're muted.
Let's try this again.
Okay,
thank you. Carol, a question. Whatever happened to the park grant? Is that still on hold, or do we think we might get it in the future, or what's happening? Do you know what's going on there?
I can answer that. I got that. We don't know. So it's their very blunt answer. It's on hold right now. Mm-hmm. So we don't know if it's frozen for good, if it'll come later in the year, if it'll come next year. We don't know. So
okay.
As of right now, the park grant, we'll get the money for due, but anything else, not hold it. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
So the next page of section two, table three, is really looking at the surplus related to the operations of each of the individual departments within corporate and rec, and then the rest of the minor operating funds, as well as the capital funds in the bottom of the page. So pretty self-explanatory there. Obviously, you can see in corporate fund, our tax dollars come into the administrative department, and all the deficit operations that happen with parks, lots, beach, and boathouse. Although this year, the deficit is lower than budgeted for all of those separate departments in corporate. In recreation, again, the tax dollars come into admin. And then you see recreation programs. That's where you see the deficit, or I'm sorry, the surplus reduced by about $500,000, $600,000. Daycare looks great. projecting 250,000 surplus. I want to alert you, though, that part of that is the grant that was received by Bobby and Jess, which totals a little over $193,000. So that does make a big chunk of that surplus for daycare.
It does have to be accounted for. You know, we have to track the items that we are purchasing for the pandemic. So we just can't spend on anything.
And then you see all our minor operating funds. All of them look good as far as fund balance levels. You see the Fund 67, the bond proceeds, a little over $4.3 million projected. I know Chris is spending a little bit of money related to design services once they're approved by the board. So we're anticipating spending about $150,000 of the $4.5 million that came into the fund. And again, this could change with the second draft of the budget, the approval draft. It's just we're making our best guess as of the first draft right now for those projects. Table 4, I'm just going to skip over the G&A. Not sure what that is, but.
If you're not talking, can you put yourself on mute?
Yeah, Carol, what table are you on now?
It's table 4. It's a fund balance summary, and it's looking at actual fund balances as of 2/29/2020, projected fund balances as of 2/28/21, and then projecting out at the end of this next budget year. The column on the right is basically the projected February 2021 balance divided by the expenditures, and that kind of gives us our fund balance percentage. So you can see there the 80% for corporate. That's the reason why I really am feeling a 300 to 400, who knows, even more, depending on what the board would like to see transferred into Fund 69, the commitment made for July.
Then right, you see Carol, I'm lost. You tell me where table 4 is again. Are we in tab?
Which table 4 in section 2.
Okay. Thank you.
They have the percentages on the far right column. So again, you see all of them are over the 25 for the minimum for the minor operating funds. And then we're projecting right now with corporate and rec still to be over the 50%. So it looks good. The following pages, if you skip ahead to where it says corporate funds summary, still a part of section 2. It's just more of a historical look. Looking back the last 5 to 6 years, you can see fund balance levels all the way at the bottom of the page. I also do it for the recreation fund. And you can also see the transfers made that, as I mentioned earlier in the presentation, that $7.3 million that we've kind of saved the taxpayers over the last 8 years. You can see that identified in the bottom pages as well. And then I'm going to jump ahead to the summary of recreation programs by program category. It is a grid. It gives you the budgeted net surplus deficit for fiscal year 21-22 on the right-hand side, side-by-side to the projected for the current year of 2021. Obviously, we budgeted to make in recreation programs about $1.1 million. We're going to make around $663,000 and budgeting for this next year, 2021, of almost $700,000. Just to point out, couple of things related to the surplus this year or deficit for each program category. Watts programs are looking great for the year, actually making $40,000 more than what was budgeted, I believe. Adult general interest down $40,000. Preschool, GJK, and ELC down $90,000. Again, these are all projected for this current year. Youth general interest, the big one being kids club program, down about 120. Athletics down about 80,000. Camps was the big one, took that all, down about $250,000. And special events, we actually saved about 40,000 by not being able to offer all the special events throughout the year. So you see the far column, the two big ones, or the two ones to just highlight, are the adult general interests that are obviously feeling the impact of the pandemic. Special events actually faring a little bit better because we didn't actually run the special events, which are typically our deficit programs.
We also don't get to do them, which is sad.
Any questions on the rec programs? The next page of section two is just an overview of the recreation fund, because it is a big fund and it has a lot. I like to show the breakdown of really what's admin, which it's the tax revenues coming in and the operation of the Take-Off Center, to the recreation program department, which is where the revenues and the surplus comes in to help reduce the operation of the Take-Off Center building and admin. And then daycare is a separate department. And that is runs a little bit differently than the recreation programs. As when it was started back in 1988, the board stated that they didn't want tax dollars to be used in the operation of the daycare center. So it must meet all of its direct and indirect expenses.
Daycare is just Children's Circle. It is not ELC, right?
Correct. And then the fitness department, which with the opening of the fitness center, I believe it was in 2018, was a separate department as well.
Carol, what's the rationale for such a low increase in the real estate taxes for next year? I thought that we'd be seeing a bigger push with our 4.3% levy, and then the homes coming in, the, what do they call those homes north of Take-Off?
The Hoover Estate?
Yes. I would have thought that we would have projected a little bit. I know we're being conservative here, but I'm...
Actually, the Hoover Estate, I don't think those are going to come on for a good year or two.
Okay.
Based on the construction schedule. And the real estate levy, the tax levy, remember that we build in for new growth.
Right.
But really, what really we're restricted by is the CPI. So it's 2.3% for purposes of the levy. And typically we build in a half a percentage point perhaps from new growth, but it's kind of up in the air right now with the pandemic. I did shift about $200,000 more into recreation. Actually only $100,000 it looks like. And again, remember with the tax cap, if we put it in recreation fund, we got to take it out of another fund. Like we're limited by the tax cap legislation back from 1994, I believe it was, and that we can't levy as much as we want. We're limited, and they cut us back.
Okay.
So it's just another look at kind of the same information in a little bit different format, because I think the recreation fund is an important fund, obviously, and just wanted to give a little bit more look to it. Section three, if no questions on section two, I'm going to move right into section three. And this is really meant as a narrative discussion. Sometimes it's easy to get lost in the numbers with fund accounting, especially multiple funds, and it's different than private accounting. But I'd like to give just a narrative for the reason behind each of the funds, which really dictates what we levy for with our annual operating levy. And then kind of get more into the specifics of individual accounts or departments within each of those funds. So I guess if you're looking to get a grasp on the budget for fiscal year 21-22, I would suggest reading tab number one, which is kind of the overview summary from my perspective as the director of finance. And then this tab number three, which does give just an easier way narrative explanation of the different funds and what's included in each of those funds. So I will open it up if there's any questions. I don't want to go through page by page and basically read what's here, but if you have any specific questions on the narrative, be happy to answer those. And if not, then we really get into the weeds with the detail of section four, tab four. And it's literally the detailed line items for every account number in every fund of the park district. And this is really what drives the summary pages and eventually the narrative pages to make sure it all ticks and ties back to what I'm presenting to you tonight. So I don't know if you have any questions on the detail or if you want to skip ahead then to the capital discussion. I will say that any changes that are made, obviously we're still 4 weeks from the end of our fiscal year. Then we have accruals that we're, you know, we pay in the new fiscal year that actually get recorded back into this 2021 year. And so there will be changes between now and the approval draft. I typically make an Excel spreadsheet and tell you what the original budget number was per the first draft and then per the approval draft and kind of just a brief explanation of why that was before the board actually goes to approve it in March. So,
Carol, I do have one question. Like, are we, you know, we had the special events were down, you know, we didn't have to pay staff. We didn't hire that many staff for things like, you know, some beach activities and other activities out there. So we have some staff reductions. Do we see in almost all these categories, I see is kind of returning back to the 2019 numbers. Do you see anything in this budget that's going to say, you know what, we didn't spend money in this area because of the pandemic, and so next year we're going to have like a 1.5x or a 2x expenditure that we should be on the lookout for?
Not really, Michael. I think, you know.
Either, and I was kind of surprised, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
We don't think we're going to get back to normal until fall. Late fall, so that's a big part of it.
Okay.
You know, we're very conservative. If it's sooner rather than later, then I'll be pleasantly surprised if we can get back to normal that fast. But we anticipate summer camp looking not a lot different than this year, and maybe I'm totally wrong, and the vaccine will come out faster, and people will feel more safe. But we're talking we have to get to phase five for that, so we budgeted on the conservative side. I think it'll take another year before we get back to normal.
I'm actually very surprised to see all the full and wait lists going on right now on the campus.
Yeah, but you have to remember that the full and wait lists are also smaller numbers than we've had in the past. So those numbers you see as full are actually smaller than we have had in the past, which we never put a limit on camp in the past. So while that may look, which I'm very thrilled about to hear, you have to remember it's not the same as it was two summers ago when we would have 300 kids in the camp and take that registration that way. So,
and sailing and aquatics filled last year and it just filled again. So yeah, it's probably the same, you know, it doesn't help us that much. It's great, but it's not a big improvement.
Yeah.
Didn't we approve you to get more boats, Bobby, so you can have more campers?
Yeah, we did. We were able to expand the numbers.
Pandemic came.
Yeah.
Bobby, if you need to rent younger rival, just let me know.
You got an extra boat?
I've got reasonable fees.
Good to know.
Would love to have Counselor Josh this summer.
All right. Moving ahead to section five then is just a brief description of the capital ranking process. I don't really think it's changed that much. We probably started the process earlier this year because of the pandemic and because of the bond issue, but it's traditionally following what we've done in the past 2 to 3 years. Appendix A really is all the capital that's included in the operating funds. These are typically more operational type maintenance items. You see down to small equipment purchases from parks through three pages. In total, we're still budgeting approximately what we did last year. We obviously, with the exception of the special recreation fund, which you may recall we had to pay our portion of the new NSSRA building. That was paid a couple of months ago in the amount of close to $120,000. And then also about $75,000 for ADA related expenditures for Duke Park. But we did cut, I know, Chris, you did cut quite a bit from your operating capital this year due to the pandemic, but we kind of rebudgeted based on what our needs are going to be moving forward. So we might not end up expending them all, but at least we've budgeted that way and they're in there should we need them. Appendix B lists all the Fund 65 projects.
Hold that for a second, please.
Sure.
Chris, it might be included somewhere else, but I thought I remembered that last year we had some funds for controlled burns. Planning to do anything like that at Deeds or Everly or
Josh, you're kind of going in and out. I just wanted to confirm your question about conservation, maintenance, and controlled burns. Is that correct?
Sorry. I thought I remembered seeing some money for that at Everly last year. Do you plan on doing anything like that again, either there or at Clara Dietz or other Park District properties?
Yeah, based on the consensus that we had from, it was a committee of the whole meeting, we increased the money budgeted for conservation maintenance to ensure a consistent level of maintenance throughout the whole district. So we weren't, you know, maintaining one site while not maintaining another site. So those monies actually went into the operating budget, which is under the maintenance services account in the parks budget. So I believe it was like about a $30,000 increase. So we're in the process right now of actually going out to bid for the entirety of the park district as one contract versus kind of piecemeal how we've been prior to that. So those are
good.
Definitely
so there. So you plan to continue or even expand those activities? It's not that you've taken them out of the budget because you're ceasing.
No, I imagine, you know, they used to be under our capital budget, but we kind of moved them more into an operating budget. I'm imagining a 3-year cycle of burning the majority of our preserve areas. And, you know, that's where I'd like to be, you know, starting this next fiscal year. So.
Great. Thank you, Chris.
Sure. Good question.
Any other questions on the Fund 65 projects?
A question?
Yeah.
I guess the pier, the work on the pier, painting the pier railings. Chris, why would we be painting the pier railings if we're going to take everything down and redo the whole pier?
That's a good question, Dudley. So that is a placeholder for painting down at the beach. So that may end up getting used painting a trellis or a shelter. It's typically just painting down there at the beach. We've had contractors do it before. We don't know yet if we'll be replacing those railings in the fall or how that's going to fall. So we may have to maintain them so they look good for the season.
Oh, okay. Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Then to go to basically what we've kind of already approved for the bond proceeds money, year one projects. This is assuming no park grant, at least for this first year. They're identified under the year one projects, boathouse access, stair, retaining wall, beach access, crib wall, south overlook, Cock Park drainage, Watts dasher boards, pier decking walkway, and the taking sinking roof fund is actually out of 69. So I'm going to take that out for this approval draft, Chris.
Yep.
Any questions on those projects? You also see then another scenario, should we get the parks grant that again has been discussed, but it's all kind of up in the air at this point in time because we have not received any wording on if we are going to get the parks grant or when they might come to the conclusion of who will get it.
Could you bring me up to date on the thinking on the Dasher boards? Wasn't there some thought we could salvage some of that stuff?
That's a good question. I don't anticipate being able to salvage the boards as they are. They're actually roller hockey boards, which is why they've aged so poorly, because they were a lower quality product when we purchased them 15 years ago. So they got damaged by the Zamboni. I do anticipate seeing that number for the Dasher boards come down significantly. To be honest with you, that was a pre-pandemic number. It's a buyer's market right now. You don't imagine that there's a lot of municipalities that are building ice rinks the year after the COVID pandemic. So to be honest with you, I anticipate probably seeing that come down $50,000 to $75,000 right off the bat, in the sense that there's not a lot of folks buying Dasher boards right now. And so we have a lot of power there in that sense. So as far as the product that we have, I would imagine to have a product that's appropriate for municipal quality, we're going to see, you know, $250 to $325 very easily. I don't see being able to cut that down and lower the quality, being that we use a Zamboni at that site.
Well, that's good news. Thanks.
Chris, I have a question if I'm not on mute. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Lisa.
Okay, sorry, I'm on my phone. Just refresh my memory. I should know this and I apologize. Is this for both rinks or just the large rink?
It's for both rinks.
Oh, good. Okay, great.
And
yes, it is really weird that the prices would go down, but great. I'm happy to hear that.
And just if you recall, these were put in the budget, but they were approved, all the projects for 65 and 69 were approved at the committee meetings early last year. Yeah, like what month is it?
Okay,
yes.
I'm over here that we may have another few pennies in our pocket.
Can you speak up a little bit, Michael?
I'm sorry, Michael, I can't hear you.
No one's ever said that before. I'm thrilled that we have a few extra bucks from the Dasher boards. Are there any other areas where you see significant pandemic sales events for us here?
Well, I can tell you that when we went out to bid for the North Overlook, we had three companies bid on it. We've had seven express interest in the South Overlook. So I expect to see a little more aggressive bidding there. The Cock Park project, you know, there are times where you think, you know, we're going to get a great bid and then you don't. And then the opposite happens at other times. I do anticipate an aggressive bid climate again here in the spring, which is really why we've aggressively gone out to bid with as many projects as we can, you know, really prior to the weather breaking, because there's just a lot of municipalities that aren't doing that stuff right now, that we're depending on, you know, state bailouts or federal grants that just have not come through. So I think we're going to be in a pretty aggressive position.
And that's another reason we pushed out these so fast, is because there has been no announcements of grants statewide, which when those get announced, then the prices start going up. So kudos to Chris for getting everything ready with him and his team.
Yeah, it's been an accelerated process, but you know, I think in the end, we're going to capture some really great bid prices and be able to pass those savings on to the taxpayers and do something a little more fun than build retaining walls with the money.
But I mean, like, do you anticipate, you know, this is 2.1, you anticipate this coming down to like 1.8, 1.9 range?
Well, Michael, to be honest, I never anticipate the budget coming in under, because that's when you immediately get yourself into trouble. You know, as far as the projects go, we've got a pretty good cost estimate right now, you know, that we've shared with the board on the majority of our capital projects other than the crib wall. I think the crib wall is the one that we're going to have to kind of keep a pin in as we work on. I think that that one is one that we could see some escalation in as we kind of really define the scope of what we're trying to accomplish. So, you know, in 6 months, if this could come in at 1.8, I would love it.
Yep.
But it's too early to say.
Okay.
And that's why it's called budgets. You know, we do our best guess estimate. So, yeah.
And then my last question on this page is that just to reconfirm the previous thoughts, Chris, and don't get frustrated with me asking you this, because I'm sure you will. There is probably no, even if the budgets come in and we actually have a few extra pennies, the fact that we have things that are in year two projects are mostly because of non-budgetary constraints, but because of timing, supervision, contractors, like we can't move some of the things from the year two to year one, even if we save money. Is that right?
That's a great question, Michael. Through year two, looking at year two, one of the reasons I recommended Lakefront Park in year two is because I think it's an OSLAD candidate. So I think if we develop a master plan for that project, if there are state grants, that's the project to go for the state grant. So that's kind of, to me, what made sense of keeping that project in year two. The evaporative controls, the safety, again, we've got the pause on that due to figuring out what's going to happen with the park grant, because if we spend that money ahead of time, we won't capture it in our grant. I think we could look at the Friends Park Playground, the Shelton Park Pathway. I mean, going forward, the year two projects will need design work done at the end of year one. So it's likely that the board is going to be discussing these projects in 5 to 6 months, to be honest with you, Michael. So I think Shelton Park probably needs a master plan before we really put a pin in what we want to accomplish. So the only real candidate that I could see for that would be Friends Park. But I think we can, that could be a fall project if our grants come in very aggressive or our bids come in aggressive.
Okay.
If the board is interested in that.
Okay, if no further questions on the capital, we'll move on to tab 6. And this is just another way of looking at operational revenues by category type, primarily property taxes and program fees. The usual goal that staff tries to achieve is about a 50-50 split, that 50% of our revenues are from taxes, 50% from user fees. Obviously, in the pandemic year, that did not quite happen, but it's obviously our goal to get to that point again as soon as we possibly can, once the pandemic is under control. So tab 6 just looks both at operational revenues and then operational expenditures across the operating funds. Any questions on that? And if not, we make it to tab 7, which is a memo to the board related to discussion on our proposed merit pool. As you know, and I think we've met with individually with the board earlier on this year, Lisa and I obviously did not know with the pandemic what we were going to see come budget time and see what our projections were like for current fiscal year 2021 and moving into next year's budget. Each year we provide kind of a documentation related to what other agencies are doing that are comparable to us on the North Shore, as well as what the village and library and school district do. And I guess I just kind of open it up for discussion. It is our staff recommendation for a 2.3% merit pool for our staff. And the 2.3 is really based on the fact that our levy CPI is 2.3 moving into the fiscal year 21-22 year, meaning that because of the tax cap, we're limited at 2.3% increase of the current year levy moving into next year. And based on the positive budget scenario that we see for next year, even amidst the pandemic, we feel that staff has done an amazing job for the Park District. Seeing it from the day that we shut down on March 13th and being able to operate our facilities and provide programs and clean parks for our patrons, that's what that's based on, and kind of a further follow-up from our individual meetings earlier this year. So, Lisa, I don't know if you have anything more to add. And if not, I guess just open it up. What we're looking for here from the board is a consensus on that merit increase so that we can, it's included in these budget numbers, but we're in the midst of evaluating all staff, full-time and part-time, and March 1 begins the new fiscal year. So it's kind of tied with the merit pool and how much available money we have for increases into the new year.
My recollection of this discussion was that we were going to follow the village's plan.
No, we never discussed how the village, because it's comparing apples to oranges. For example, the village, most of the majority of their staff are union, so that's not actually indicated on there. So there are all their union staff, the majority of their staff are getting a 30% raise. So we would never automatically follow the village of Glencoe. We look at more of what we're comparables with other park districts. And if you look at the park districts that are more similar to us, they're giving between the 2.25 and 3%. There are park districts that are not. Those are the ones that are really facility heavy that maybe haven't done as well as we have in the pandemic. So that's usually what we follow. And then we do take into account with the village and the school district. If you notice them, they're giving 3% and the library is giving 2.4.
I was referring to that they're doing their increases in June.
They are doing their
increases. I was talking about that. It might have been in individual meetings. I'm not sure.
They are doing the cost of living for some of their staff in June. That's what's indicated here, but the union staff get it immediately at the beginning of their fiscal year based on their contract.
You know, I think something to consider, too, is so much of our staff our teachers and teachers, you know, I almost look at it to compare it to the school district, you know, that of course they've got a contract as well. But so I think about how much our teachers did have to work through this, and you know, that so many of the other staff were actually, you know, in the facility working. And so that's how I look at it. I don't look at it to follow the village.
Yeah, I would, Lisa, I will, Lisa Brooks, I tend to agree with you, but it's hard to bifurcate our staff into like the teachers versus the others. I actually think the vast majority of the people at Glencoe Park District are teachers to some extent, right? I mean, they're educators of the community and of the things that we're doing. I'm going to go out on a limb here and probably atypical of myself. I actually don't think the 2.3 is enough. I would say, as I look at this chart here at the Highland Park and the Lake Brooks to the North Brooks,
can't hear you.
Okay. I would say the only one that's around 2.3 is Deerfield. To me, that's the low end of the range. I would love to understand if there's other commissioners that think, you know, 2.5, 2.6, 2.7 will be on the table. We've saved a lot of money this year through our staff's ingenuity, and we've engaged a lot of our citizens through our staff's ingenuity. I think that's worthy of kind of at least comparable to what the other park districts are giving, quite frankly, if not a little more.
Michael, whenever I think about a merit pool like this, I think that actually there's probably three components that one should think about. One is the actual merit, like does the staff deserve it? Did they work hard? And I'd say the performance of the district has been exemplary. We've talked about that many times. So I'll say kudos, but not belabor that point. And then the second and third component are, can you afford it? Which I would posit we probably can, given the other material here. And then the last thing I would consider is, like, where are you where is your rate of pay relative to where it should be, sort of in general, right? If Carol had said, you know, we gave everybody 10% raises for each of the last 3 years, and we're paying 15% above everybody else, then, you know, 2.3 would be pretty generous. So maybe that's me making a statement, but also asking Carol or Lisa to weigh in on where you think our sort of average pay is relative to our competitive districts.
Well, we also, and it's in, it was in this book as well, we did that salary study 1 year or 2 years ago. So I feel that we did really look at that at that point, at the competitiveness.
Yeah, at that time we had, Lisa, you're on mute.
I agree with Stephanie. We did absolutely look at our pay wage, but we also looked at the forecast, and based on our forecast to stay competitive, we did figure in 3% raises just to keep on being competitive with our neighbors and other communities. So I definitely, we are not on the high sides. We're on about the average side for other park districts. Carol, would you like to add to that?
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. I felt like if we were, I remember that study, and thank you, Stephanie, for reminding us of that. It would surprise me if you hadn't already taken significant action if we were way off.
We actually did make a few adjustments based on that 2 years ago, Josh, to kind of bring certain positions to more in line with what they should have been. So, and that was really based on what the other area districts were offering for their positions at the similar comparability.
So in the end, I'll just say I don't really have a strong position on it. those are the things I would consider. I do put a lot of weight on what senior staff recommends. I don't think Michael's question is a crazy one. You know, if you had come and said this should be 2.5 or 3%, I don't think I'd be batting an eyelash at that. But if you think 2.3 is the right number and that conserves resources and protects the taxpayer, then I can live with that too.
Not to be negative, Nelly, but we still did lose a lot of money this year. While what we provided for the community is amazing, we still can't forget that we lost a lot of revenue. So I think we have to keep that in mind.
That's not really true. We lost probably from what we budgeted in the recreation fund. We were only off by a budgeted fund balance by $114,000 in recreation. And we actually were $400,000 better than what we budgeted in the corporate fund. So we actually did better than what we were budgeting last year.
Yeah, I thought we had a pretty, and that's kind of why I think we should be at least the midpoint, if not higher, because I think we outperformed given the circumstances, and I wouldn't want to miss an opportunity to reward the talent and retain the talent. I think people looking at the Glencoe Park District, if I'm an employee of the Glencoe Park District and I'm looking at these numbers here, which are fully public, and I'm thinking about the hard work that I put in, I'm thinking about what's going on in Highland Park and Lake Bluff and other areas, I could see a world where this talent could be frustrated and where this talent could probably take some of the lessons they've learned here and move on. And I see that at my office all the time, Stephanie, and so this is a near and dear to my heart. I'm losing some of the best people out there because of things like merit. And that's something that it sets me back really far in my private world. I don't want the park district to be set back too far. If I look at this, a 1% additional is 15,000. Is that right?
Yes.
I mean, and we're talking about saving, you know, 100,000 on dasher boards. I know you can't rob Peter to pay Paul, but that's kind of my mentality. And I see this. Anyway, I'll leave it at that.
Good point.
I'm surprised to hear Michael say that because you've lost so many people. I mean, I'm in an industry where we just laid off 20 more people for stunts. So I think, you know, while I just think you have to keep in mind the factors and the of what is going on in every industry and in the country. It just seems like, you know, any increase is, for if you're coming off a pandemic era, any increase is good. I mean, we took care of the employees when we were closed. Not everybody did that. This is not bonuses. Those extra work gets rewarded in other ways as well. This also carries over, you know, so then that increase next year and next year and next year. So I would not be in favor of going above what was recommended.
And if I could just add something very quickly, if I think to Josh's point, if staff is comfortable with this, that gives me confidence that we're acting appropriately. And I will add that if there is an opportunity for something that I would think of as COVID pay or COVID bonus, I think Michael, you might have mentioned that there may be other opportunities that can be discussed later that would address that particular bonus potential. So table that thought. It's a really good one. I think we're going to talk about it at another time. But Lisa, if you're looking for consensus, and I do respect, Stephanie, I do respect what you're saying. Everybody's taken a terrible hit. And every industry, like Michael's industry, you just have to, you know, you're losing good people and so forth. I would say if we can avoid losing good people in our teaching staff and our management staff, that would be really the objective. So.
Okay, that's good direction. Perfect.
When's the next conversation on this, Lisa Shepherd?
An executive session. We're going to have a little discussion.
Okay.
And finally, tab number 8 of the budget binder is really a kind of a 5-year budget projection. As we know it right now, as we see it right now. So it's more just kind of looking ahead for the future. But until we get through this pandemic, it becomes very hard to try to forecast out with anything significant. So, but it is additional information for the board. And after that, I really just kind of open it up to the board for any additional questions. I know we're going to go into executive session, but I'm available to answer any questions both here tonight or if you want to follow up with me in the days coming ahead.
Absolutely. And we'd be happy to meet with anybody who would like to meet on this.
Well put together, Carol. Thank you again.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Okay. There ain't no questions. We can, we do not have any other business in this committee meeting, so we can go in executive session. So this is what we're going to do for executive session. We're going to, Jenny is going to put any guests into a holding room while we go into executive session. If you want to stay for the next meeting, which is committee meeting, so we're going to go out of our finance committee and back into our committee of the whole, just to make sure that we're transparent so that if anybody wants to go on our website, they can easily see a finance committee meeting in the whole, and then they can easily see a committee of the whole meeting. So Jenny's going to take you, anybody but the board and Carol and I, into the holding room. And if you want to stay in the holding room, please do. And then when we come out of executive session, she'll pull you back into the meeting again. Does that make sense? Okay.
Yes. Go ahead, Michael.
The board will now enter into closed session where no action will be taken. I entertain a motion that pursuant to Section 5 ILCS 120/2 of the Open Meetings Act, the board will enter into closed session to discuss personnel as mandated by Section 406, 5 ILCS 120/2, A1. Those present during executive session,
who concludes all commissioners and Lisa and Carol. Okay. I need a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Yep. And I need a roll call.
Penny?
I need a roll call. I'm going to do roll call. So Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdonk?
You're on mute.
Commissioner Underdonk? Yes. Okay. Chair Colby?
Yes.
Okay.
Josh Lutton.
Dudley Underdonk.
Carol Mensinger.
And Lisa Shepherd.
Okay, the closed session discussion may begin.
All right. So just for...
I recommend entertain a motion to return to open session.
Did we do that already?
No, to return to
open session. Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay, return.
I entertain a motion to return to open session.
Yep.
So moved.
Second.
Question? Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdonk?
Yes.
And Chair Colby?
Yes. Okay, motion passes.
Okay. Now we have to motion to adjourn the out of Finance Committee the whole.
I entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Roll call vote, please.
Who was second? I'm sorry.
I did.
Okay. Dudley. Okay. Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdonk?
Yes.
Chair Colby?
Yes.
All right. That one's done.
Passes. You can stop the recording.